All right, welcome to AYC. My name is Michael. We have the Zoes, and today we have Erica Peck. Now, Zoe Gray was just sharing with us how she somehow got a referral to Nevaeh. Zoe, would you like to elaborate?
I fell out of a seat, and Nevaeh can back me up, because Nevaeh was there. I fell out of a...
Big Shelby? You know I used to call her that name?
What?
I used to call her Big Shelby because she refused to tell me her
She's
name.
She's going to be listening to this. Good. Mm-hmm.
Gonna, like... She refused to tell me her name, and I was in a mood that day at Brabham Lunch. And she was like, no. I was like, whatever, Big Shelby. She's like, what? And I was like, she refused for a year. She wouldn't tell me. So I go, what's up, Big Shelby? And she got mad at me. I don't blame her. But yeah, what was Nevaeh doing?
She was just witnessing, but she was the reason the teacher was mad, because she and Hadley wouldn't be quiet the whole class.
They were laughing at
So then whenever I fell out the seat on accident, she just thought it was this whole big thing.
Right.
And I literally tried to tell her, I was like, ma'am, I like fell out the seat, like, you don't hear it. She moved me up.
I could probably say I've never gotten a referral.
I was like, all right, cool.
Never gotten a referral? Never gotten ASD. I'm a good child. Good child.
That last statement you made.
Oh.
You're a good job.
Oh.
Let's elaborate.
Yeah.
What defines a good child?
Is a child a gun?
What defines a good child?
I don't know. I guess, like, not getting in trouble. Like, I don't do, like...
There's a lot of people who are pretty sneaky that don't get in trouble.
Doing the right thing when no one's watching.
Yeah.
Doing the right thing when no one's watching. That's why we don't post if we're skipping school in our notes, right, Derek?
Sweet.
Zoe exposes herself, at least. Kind of funny. Like, when you get in trouble, you make sure everybody knows what doing the wrong thing. You're honest.
We're going to say... Sometimes I go back to my old Spanish class that I failed last year, and I just sit in there and just chill out.
Zoe, we're trying to get you to graduate high school. Not become the greatest 7 years in your life.
You'll be like this.
I'll be a super senior.
We're super senior. Okay. I heard that super senior isn't like when you repeat. I heard it's when you date a freshman.
No.
That's what I've heard.
I don't know
what.
Well, based on the rules of Texas state law, that would be called a Romeo and Juliet situation. Mm-hmm. So they would not be actually, they would hold up in court, but they would not be considered a predator. But it is potentially predatory if you're 19 years old dating like a 16.
I don't think you're 19 and...
Super senior, though?
You're 18
years to turn 19.
Yeah. Yes. And then freshmen are literally 14.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, that hasn't stopped Willis, has it? No. Nope. Nope. We got eighth graders trying to date juniors.
Oh.
Okay. It's true. Okay, so here's the thing. This is common amongst most cultures. And Eric, I want you to play into this. This is common amongst most cultures. Women typically go for older men. Oh, yeah. I do think so.
Why do maturity level?
Maturity.
Sure. Maturity level.
Because it's obviously, I've seen some women's tastes. It's obviously not looks. I'm sorry. Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right? Look at the approach of UNC football, right?
Like a good looking guy, like obviously, yeah, I want that, but like I don't have like a certain type.
You don't have a certain...
Like, time. It's like, if you are a good person and, like, you do care about, like, going to church and, like, building your relationship with God and having God in the center of your relationship of whoever you're dating, like, I feel like that's what I look for more, not, like, what you look like. Like, obviously, if you're ugly, if you're just plain out ugly, because there is just, like, plain out ugly people.
Right.
Right? Like...
just people you don't think are cute.
Right.
Okay.
You were doing so good. You were doing good, and then you absolutely made sure you returned to the shallow end of the pool as fast as possible. You're going to get a good, deep, solid answer. Real quick, back to the shallow end.
So someone you don't find attractive.
Yeah.
Like, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah.
My gosh. Yes.
It's just, you want to find someone who's like... halfway, like,
above 5'11".
See, that's
no,
too
not tall. It's not as tall. It's not for this generation. Shark King, we're in.
Oh, no.
Oh, wrong.
I think that's more of a forced trend than reality.
Yeah, thank you.
Then it is a reality. I actually think that's true. I think maybe in the world of business, you have more men by meaning, and I know because I read the article, the guys they're using are my exact height. which I would be considered statistically short. So they're 5'8" and below. And I think some of that is because there was like a prime minister that was 5'8" in the UK at the time. And there's another like popular actor who was 5'8". And so they're like, okay, oh, we're moving towards short kings. I'm like, kinda. But I don't know if you guys have seen, this is terrible, but I know it's all over social media. The dating shows where the girls have the balloons.
It's like the Tinder, but like in real life.
Yeah, so there will be like a row of girls and they'll be holding balloons and a guy will walk up. If he's below like
5'11",
they will pop their balloons. He's like, what up? My name.
Popping the balloons is good or bad?
No, unless you don't want them.
Bad. And one thing that I remember a host of a game show said, which I think is fascinating. He said the one thing women were cruel with was height for some reason. He's like, they would flex a lot of things. And here's the reason I think so. Speaking from a short guy, the height thing never bothered me. I think it is proposed security. There is something that is when someone is standing over you, that there is kind of a looming figure, that there is a sense of security that can come from that feeling.
See,
not always, because there are some gangly skinny dudes that make you feel very, very, they don't make you feel safe. But I think in some cases, on a very, I'm not talking about deep level, I'm talking about a physical, purely physical level, sometimes I could see where that's given as an advantage or a sense of security. I don't think, obviously, that doesn't apply in all cases. And obviously, I don't think that's universally true. I do think for people that have a hard time maybe reading character, it's easier to go. You want to go taller to just have that natural sense of security to go.
See, if like he's like 6 foot, I'm like 5'5". So like the height difference is going to be like that.
Yeah.
And it just looks like, it just doesn't look good in pictures. It doesn't go. Like, it's just like a no. It's just like no.
That, it's the pictures thing, isn't it? It's all about the pictures.
Yeah, but I'm kind of going with that. I don't know someone too tall.
Like, if you're too, like, too, there are people who are too tall. Like,
I'm just going for a man as all
height.
But you were
so I don't even know people that tall.
I want someone that's taller than me. Maybe like,
how tall are you?
Yeah, I'm like 5'8". I'm like really tall. There's a month I was guys are like my height or shorter.
Would you date someone shorter than you?
See, if I'm shorter than me, like,
I'd have to be pretty handsome to be shorter.
That's not a short
kid. Yeah, but like, see, like,
no, it is.
If they're my height,
you just got like someone like new
all flopped it. Yeah, so you would date a short kid.
He'd have to play like, but here's what we're talking about. If he is shorter, and I do think this is true of most women, if he is shorter, like height, your height or below, bro's got to come. He's better be funny.
Yeah, he has to have like.
And handsome and nice. Yeah, he's got to come. He actually does have to come maybe a little more socially adept and prepared because, and it's interesting how that works. I have noticed that it tends to run that way because sometimes if they're tall enough and handsome enough, like we'll like just stand there and smile. And that girl's like, you know, he's just really sweet. Like, he said nothing.
I feel like personality is more of a thing than like height for me.
Long term, yes.
Yeah.
And you would be correct.
Like, I want to wake up to someone who like will make me laugh or like make me smile. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. Yes.
Not like.
Now, in high school, I don't want you really to wake up to anybody.
Well,
but,
yeah, obviously. But like in the long term, like.
Yes. Okay. So what do you think high school guys get wrong about what girls like?
They think that, okay, actually, I have a great story for okay. this.
All right.
Okay. So.
Your grandbag talking circle.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. So my friends, we have a whole friend group for like, not church, but like Light Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like a friend group of ours. And one of my friends and like one of the guys started like, kind of like talking a little.
Right.
And he comes to me, like not comes to me, but like is asking like, what does she like actually think about me? Like, you know, like trying to get like, not to see if she's just trying to mess around. I was like, she actually really does like you. And he was like, yeah, but like, how do I like talk to her more? Like to show that like, I do care. And I was like, girls, like, I feel like personally me, like I like knowing what they think about me and like seeing like someone who's confident and not a nonchalant person. Like, I want to see, like, you caring. Like, if you have something to say, if you like me, like, say it. Don't, like, give me hints. You know what I mean?
They don't want it. Well, no one, I think, likes to feel that on.
Yeah, for sure.
The whole nonchalant phase is just, it's a young man's approach to try to gain confidence again.
Yeah.
That ultimately confidence represents strength. And people of both genders are attracted to strength.
Yeah.
Both are. And so Nonchalant is the attempt to look strong because you don't care, but it, in an insecure person, it just looks really mean. it's just really mean and rude. And so then girls are like, I don't even want to hang around you because you don't want to do anything or care about anything.
Like, if you're just so nonchalant, like, you just, like, are so dry. Like,
no, it's called boring.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, you're boring.
No, it's just called boring because you're not interested in anything. And it's every generation of men is trying to find its way.
And I feel like that's what guys think we want, is someone who just, like, doesn't really care.
No.
But, like, no. Like, I need you to, like, not, like, be, like, controlling, but to the point, like, you know, like, not controlling. Like, it doesn't...
Charge, leading,
I don't know, like...
You're saying
direct. I feel like the guys think that we want to take the pants of the relationship.
Okay.
Like, they think that we want to have the pants, but, like, in reality, like, you want the guys to, like, not be in charge, but, like... I can't think of the word, but, like, you get where I'm coming... Oh.
You want to be confident that you're with them.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I feel confident. Feel safe.
Yeah.
Safety, I think, is underrated. I don't think guys feel like... And I didn't as a young male. I didn't think that a girl, if she felt safe around me, I didn't think that was really important. I was like,
oh, and that's one of the most important
things. I was like, oh, that's whatever.
Yeah.
That was not his number one thing with me, actually, when we were dating. Mm-hmm. She said, I felt very safe around you. And I was like, but the thing is that I had met her previous ex, who was painfully handsome. And I was like, I mean, safe's okay, but I mean, kind of hot. No. All right. Am I like a 6 out of 10? Like, but she said safe. And there is what safety does is creates comfortability. And then things are a lot more natural as far as conversation and knowing the person. The nonchalant thing is young men trying to find confidence.
I feel like the most thing, though, is like girls, like, they tend to forgive in high school, especially in high school. They tend to forgive and go back to that same person over and over and over again. So the guys just, like, don't really care about, like, genuinely, like, trying, or, like, they know that, like, oh, if this girl gets mad at me, like, she's always just gonna come back. Because personally, me, like, I do, like, I'm the type of person that will always forgive you no matter what you have done to me, no matter how bad you've hurt me. Like, I always come back if you, like, you know what I mean.
But here's the thing, I think we're mixing up, that happens because we're mixing up forgiveness and trust is the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not the same thing.
Exactly.
Actually, trust has been broken. Mm-hmm. I do forgive you, but that does not warrant that I'm going to trust you the same way I did before. I also think, and Nani and I always talk about this, one thing students, and actually young adults too, young adults fought me on this, students fight me on this. People think I'm just a dinosaur for this thought process. But I will stand 2 feet planted in the ground that this is the correct mental thought process. When you have dates, you are not going to be close friends again once over.
Oh, no.
No, it's over. But people try.
Mm-hmm.
They try to salvage the friend group.
Especially if it was a...
They try to salvage the friend group, and they're like, we're going to be friends. That's not going to work. Because that friend over there in that group, the one that you made out with and said things you shouldn't say with other friends to... Yeah, that's not because, and we're going to be honest, that's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same. You have a relationship with that friend group.
Once you've done something with someone, or, like, you, like, have had a relationship with them, it's never going to be
the same. It's not going to be the same. But every Wednesday, I'm usually talking to some student that is either going back to
the exact same one.
Different student. Okay. There is one guy, I do troll him every Wednesday on purpose. Because his girlfriend comes and they are horribly toxic to each other, and I'm trying to get them to break up. Is very unhealthy. All his friends are not for it, and they're correct. But I think they're both in it because they love drama.
Oh, my goodness.
I think it's why.
I feel like a lot of people look for relationships, too. Like, they don't care who the person is. They just want to be
with somebody.
Relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that comes from a lonely place. And being in a relationship with someone because they're lonely.
They want the attention.
Is the worst. It's the worst place. And you will pick the worst people.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Because desperation, my dad used to tell me, he said, Mike, desperation's a stinky cologne. Like, it reeks. And people can feel it, which is why people choose to be nonchalant. Because there are guys that are crazy about girls.
Yeah.
They know, though. You act crazy, understandably, she gonna run.
For sure.
So, what do we do? As young men, you overcorrect. And you go, well, I don't care. You're Riggs. And then the girl's like, well, I mean, he's kind of a jerk. So I don't really want to be around him at all. So then it works negative the other way. Because especially Christian men. Mm-hmm. Christian men typically, because of a relationship with the Lord, lean into sensitivities that a lot of kids who don't have a close relationship with Jesus don't. The problem is, because they lean to that sensitive side and prayer and more self-reflection, they tend to overshare their feelings to another girl. And then it comes off too hard,
too fast. Like the girl's best friend.
Too hard, too fast. And then the girl's like, whoa, that's a lot. So all these things being considered, people want to be loved. They want to be loved. How we approach it with each other, a lot of times comes from insecurities. And we end up stepping on each other's toes or not expressing how we actually feel or overcorrecting or, you know, my thing is like, especially when you've been hurt by somebody, you need to go sleep. Like you need to get some sleep because you staying up till 2 a.m.
is not happy.
Nope.
Especially
like you crash out hard.
Oh yeah.
And your Instagram story is just going to be full of nasty rap songs. And you're just with the blue light glow in your room and like half your forehead is just like crying or whatever. You're just like, I hate this.
You're up arguing with them until 2 a.m. and like, you know, you need sleep, but like, just can't, like, you don't want to wake up to the messages in the morning. So you just feel like you have to finish it right then.
Nice. You felt that way before?
Oh, yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I would hate that. Zoe? Whoa. Same? Have you had that same experience?
Especially with
I don't want to wake us to the message.
Especially with the
late regrets. Easy. Every school has their problems. Every school has their problems. It's interesting because no matter the student, even though culturally each high school is different, the language of love seems to be the same. Like, people are handling each other and treating each other actually a lot more the same than you think. The people are different, but some of the conversations are scarily more similar than
that. Oh, yeah.
They're having... And okay, so let's open up this question. Because I think this also stems from maybe watching parental relationships. Why do you think it's hard for people to break up and stay broken up?
I feel like once you have like that emotional and like physical connection with someone, like it's always going to be there. And like, if you did genuinely like love that person, like they were like at one point, like one of the most important people in your life, like they're always going to have like a special place in your heart. I feel like that's like, yeah, they could have hurt you really bad. And yeah, you may not trust them, but like, you're always going to have like that soft spot for them. You know what I mean? Like they're always just going to be there. So like if they come back, like it's like, oh, you remember all the good memories you had with them and not the bad, like all the bad just go away. No matter how bad they treated you, they just like go off and across the world. You know, like what I mean?
I do.
And all the good memories just like start replaying. You're like, oh, wait, maybe he'll change. And like maybe he'll, you know what I mean?
It's dangerous.
Yeah,
that's how people get cycled in abusive.
And that's how you lose trust. Like, it's just a constant going back, gaining trust, losing trust all over again.
I remember on Wednesday, whenever you talked about, like, identity and all, I feel like a lot of people, like, use that as, like, their identity. Like, people think, like, if you've loved this person, like, so much in your life, like, you think that. Like, that's the love of my life because I've loved them so much. But, like, you've only lived, like, 16 years and you're still going to live, like, 50 more. Like,
right.
That's not who you're going to love the most in your life. It's just who you love the most at the moment. And that's, like, why, like, people, like, hold on so much because that's, like, the most they've ever had and all that.
I think, and we have to also realize, like, you can feel passionately for someone, but feelings in itself don't lead us into truth. And we have to look at the truth of what was it? If I was to take my feelings out of the situation, what was it? I spent a lot of my time. I lost a lot of friendships over these things. Wasn't mentally or emotionally healthy. So even though I felt for them, I wasn't growing closer to Jesus. Like a lot of these things can pair up. And it's hard for us to remove ourselves from this. And also we have to think of this and you are going to change a lot as a person for the next decade of your life. And your taste will actually change as far as what you're looking for in life. and some of the people you're interested in. I know one person, it's not the case. It's Nate Boyd. Because Nate Boyd dated in high school, got married immediately out after. Now, high school Mike had very different taste in girls and what he was looking for in life than when I met Nadia at 24.
I feel like a lot.
Very, very different.
A lot of people also have like that certain person that they look for, like the perfect person. Like they will not go out of that bubble. Like they just wait until they think they're going to find that person. But in reality, like you will never find that exact person. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
you may find someone similar, but
I think it's what we look in for in scripture is that you're looking for first a common place of faith. Do they actually really love Jesus?
Yeah.
Now in Montgomery County, a lot of people go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Does not necessarily mean they love the Lord.
For sure.
And a lot of people know about Jesus. It doesn't mean they care to know him personally.
For sure.
So you can be easily fooled by who, and you could pretty much pick most people in your school, but like, yeah, he's Christian or kind of Christian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that means. But someone that loves the Lord and is genuine in their faith is the real end all be all as Christians, because there are no guides to dating within scripture. And then people are like, well, that's courting. Point being, if they're not a Christian, you're in for a really hard ride as far as dating is concerned. If they don't love the Lord and you do, that's going to be a point of contention. When they do love the Lord, they're willing to be corrected. They're willing to be developed. They're willing to be, they're willing to listen. They're willing to change. They're willing to lead. They're willing to love well and sacrifice and serve well. And they're going to be growing in that aspect. And in high school, you're figuring most, you're not 99% of you are not going to get married to the person you're dating. You're figuring out what it is to date, what it is to get to know someone, what it is to look for good traits, recognizing that we're in the dreaming phase of our lives. You're in the dreaming phase of your life where they are not in their full-time career. They're not in their full-time career. And they're developing. They're going to continue to develop into their early 30s. A lot of things of what the Lord's still going to do with them. It's called roots. So in dating, you look for roots. What are, is there good roots? Does he have good stuff within him? There is a point though, where it's like, not everything can be potential. Like you need to be relatively kind.
I feel like that's what, like I keep in my mind is like, no one's perfect. So whenever someone like that I'm talking to or dating, like, and they make a mistake, like I'm like, oh, no one's perfect. Like, it's going to be okay. Like, don't like really like let it bother me. Like that's just like the mentality I have is like I can change someone.
Yeah.
Like I will find like a friend and I'll be like, oh, I can change her. Like I'm gonna change her. I'm gonna bring her to church and I'm gonna change her for the better. Like a guy, I'm like, oh, he goes to church but he doesn't really see God. Like I will change him for the better.
Which
isn't it?
Which that is
the day.
It's interesting because men don't think that about women. Women do a lot of times think that about men.
Yeah.
Women like will take a project.
Yeah.
Guys, funny enough, will either they will take a project and do nothing. They'll be like, she's hot. Like not look to change at all if they get what they want out of the relationship. Or they're like, no, you need to come with some development. The women, for some reason, it's interesting because they are interested in like, there is potential here. Maybe if I pull him here, the good will come out.
Oh,
like
yeah.
There is a savior mentality. The problem is Jesus is the only savior. And so you can add to that person's life. You cannot make them be that thing. And you cannot set your heart upon
about it.
You cannot set apart to make them change. And you never will. So if you like someone, but you feel like there's this pull that you're like, oh, well, I can help them be better. And you feel a real strong pull that's in you about it. You might need to pause. You might need to pause because that's not actually energy you should be using. Not in this phase of your life. Now, unfortunately, that might leave you more single than you'd like to be. And people don't always like being single. But scripture actually thinks it's great to be single.
Oh, yeah.
So, and if we know our value in the Lord, then we got no problem waiting.
I feel like if you are single, like you have more time to like focus on God and really on yourself and like find the best version of yourself so you can be the best version when you find your significant other, like the one that you are planning on spending the rest of your life with. Like, don't let one boy ruin you completely.
Which I would argue you only... let someone ruin you if you let them ruin you.
For sure.
They, yeah. And that's coming from someone who had a sister who was brutally abused.
Mm-hmm.
And so my sister was.
Yeah.
But, you know, we allow pain and hurt and past relationships to define us as much as we've let them.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you have a choice. And the whole girl boss mentality don't work. Just heads up. The whole, like, I'm strong and I have power. And, like, and then those girls end up, like, going to the club, weirdly enough. But they're like, I'm strong. Like, that mentality to overcome is good. But if it's not found in Jesus, it just comes off as pride. And actually, that's repelling.
Yeah.
No one's drawn towards a proudful man or woman. Like, a very arrogant guy is, you know it. People are like, yeah. Like,
why did you look at me?
Because all people agree. Arrogant guy amongst men and women, we're like, no. And an arrogant woman amongst men and women, we're like, hey, I don't seem to fit in this room. Like it, that doesn't, yeah. That doesn't fit.
I yes. feel like how Zoe said, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. Like how she was like saying that she liked being single because like she liked like being like able to be close with the Lord and like she wanted to like work on herself for like her future husband.
Yeah,
I agree with that a lot, but I feel like it's a little different for me because I've had countless friends who have gotten into relationships that are so bad, like to where they can't hang out with their friends, like
yeah,
oh, yeah.
Like, I'm getting blocked for like asking what's wrong and all that, like it's just horrible stuff. So like that's like affected me so much where like I don't want to date boys, like I want to go like have fun with my friends and like live in the moment and not have to like cry myself to sleep because of a boy or something. Like I right. want to be able to like go to church and like get to do like the things that I do.
Yeah, I mean, as a dad, I would say yeah, don't date boys. Say what?
Yeah.
as a dad, I think that, but I do. It is natural to want to have relationships. It's natural to have that. I think it's not natural sometimes how we treat each other. Mm-hmm. And
I feel like it gets to a point where like you just get so comfortable with someone. Like, and you know, like, they're not gonna leave. Like, you have, like, that feeling that, like, they won't leave you. Or, like, they'll stay no matter how, like, if you, like, lash out at them, it's because you're so comfortable with them that you're not afraid of them leaving.
Mm.
Like, if you lash out, like, you know they're not gonna leave.
Yeah, and I would argue sometimes it can be a little dangerous in the dating relationship.
Oh, for sure.
If you're not married and you feel so locked in that they'll never leave you, then the second question I ask is, if you felt like you had to leave, could you? And some people say no. And that's not a healthy place. We're not talking about marriage. We're talking about dating. You can't leave somebody in your heart. You don't feel like you can leave them.
I feel like.
And you're not married.
Them in my head, but in my heart, like I always like, no matter, even if it's a friend, like they're always going to have a place in my heart.
That's a choice.
Yeah, but it's just like the opposite.
That's a choice then. And
so we just block someone.
But here's the thing: that's a choice, and you made that choice. You can block someone, right?
Yeah, I can like cut someone out of my life completely, but they're always in my head. Like that's.
Oh, see, no.
So okay, so here's I'm gonna bring some scriptural truth here. In this, so scripture talks about you be not conformed to the ways of this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And before there were ever studies on neuroplasticity and the fact that your brain can change every 30 days, you can develop new habits, start to create new pathways moving your brain. Before that was ever scientifically proven, scripture was showing that if you get in God's word and who he has, what he says about you, you can change the way you think. And when you start to change the way you think, you start to choose what you think about. And what you dwell upon is important because it's not fair to the person that I believe, if you guys desire a marriage, I would agree with you in prayer that someday when you get much older and you're out of high school, please, dear Lord Jesus, that you would find a man that loves you and loves the Lord above all else. And then that's one thing to be desired. We can come in agreement on prayer. I wouldn't want him to feel like you've carried everybody there to him.
I feel like I always, like, I can remove them from my head. And I can block them on everything, but I'm the type of person that I will block you, right. But you will never be blocked in my messages. Like, if you ever need me, I'm here.
Right. But you have to understand, that's not your role.
Yeah.
You've self-assigned a caretaker role. Mm-hmm. When actually, when you break up, you said that you no longer are doing that. Which is mixed messages for your heart and the person. Mm-hmm. Which is how we call keeping strings attached on someone. So it then creates an option B. Even though that's not your intention, you're like, I'm not that girl, which is true. But way in the nether regions of our own minds, when things get lonely or something goes south, the one you did have a strong connection with and then ended, it does create an option B. When you break up with somebody, it means exactly that. It does mean it's over. It does mean that it's time to move on. I was not always perfect in the execution, but when I understood that fact, it made my life a lot less dramatic. And you have to be able to choose that even though that person is valuable and they are loved by God and they are hurting and you are, and relationships are painful, your role to be caretaker and the shoulder to cry on is not therein. And God is good enough to provide the people in their life, if they so choose, to comfort them when needed. But the emotions and the physicality attached to your previous relationships will actually blur the lines in your own head and heart if you were to take up that role.
Definitely for relationships, though, like, they're not good for me, like, mentally, because I hate being this type of person, but I am this type of person that I will genuinely, like, I will put you before me. And I know, like, that's not what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But even my friends, like, I will, like, if you're in trouble, I will literally stop everything that I'm doing to go help you.
Which is good. But, and we'll end on this note, this is a good thing because you're saying this. You've made self-declaratory statements of who you are. But you're 16, you're still changing.
Yeah.
So you're saying, I am this person. You've decided you are. Mm-hmm. No one's making you help your friends. You're making you help.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good. But here's the problem. The I am statements don't help you when you're trying to move on. Mm-hmm. And you go, I am this person. I keep you one place in the heart. No, you're not. You make that decision to be that person. And so you make the decision to move on your own heart. I'm not saying that's easy. I do think it's easier for some folks than it is others. My brother, but dude, that dude dated girls and moved on with no problem. Nice. Me, Mr. Emotion.
Oh, yeah.
If you want an example of how I acted with women or how emotional I was as a child, go look at my middle child. Jude, personality-wise, is exactly how he used to be as a child. And his sensitivity levels are a lot of how I was and still am, more privately, but still am. And so I had a hard time moving off from those things, but I had to choose. It's time to stop. It's time to stop crying or being hurting, lonely. It's time to move on. And so, yeah, I cry more than people realize. Actually, I cry quite a bit. But I cry happy. I cry angry.
Mm, me too.
Like I cry those things. These are decisions we make. And when we get in God's word and allows us to have the strength to make those decisions, and you start to redefine who you are and saying, "I've been this way. God is making me into this person. I don't have to be this anymore." All right, we do have to cut this off because it went out. But guys, thank you so much, Zoe's.
Of course.
Take any chips if you'd like to. But
we did it.
All right. Thank you for joining us on AOSC. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.